This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, Tom Brady. Oh, how fun was it last night to watch Tom Brady have that senior moment of confusion where he looked around and went, wait a minute, why are people leaving? Why are we supposed to? No, we're not supposed to get off the field. Don't we get another chance at this football thing that we're supposed to do? No, Bears win last night 20-19. Look, if you didn't watch the game at all, okay, and then you woke up this morning and somebody said, yeah, the Bears won a 20-19 game last night. They kicked a field goal with a little over a minute left to win it, and Tom Brady had the ball with over a minute left and plenty of time to try to get down the field. You'd probably think, what a game. What a great game it was. It wasn't a great game. I thought it was almost unwatchable at times how bad the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just committed penalty after penalty after penalty. And Nick Foles didn't look good, and Brady didn't look good either. It was a terrible game. Now, look, was the outcome close, and did it keep your attention? Of course. I mean, it's not on the level of getting blown out 42-0 or one of those type of games. Yeah, I mean, it's going to hold your attention because, well, somebody's got to win this disaster. But it was the Bears that ended up going to 4-1 on the season, and the Buccaneers are going to kick themselves all the way on the plane back to Tampa because this was a game they easily should have won. Easily. But Brady, this is the first time that you see Brady in a Buccaneers uniform where there's this realization that he's not in a system like in New England. Like, New England's not committing 11 penalties in a game. New England's offense is not going to put him in a third and long position all the time. And it was funny because at the end, as Brady got the ball back with plenty of time on the clock, and the Bears had done some bad clock management, you think to yourself, all right, here we go. All right, Brady with the ball with over a minute left, needing a field goal to win, set. But then you realize, wait, he's not running a Josh McDaniels offense. He's not running in the same sort of clean system that he's did with the Patriots. And sure enough, it fritted out and he was done on a fourth down play. He thought it was third down. We'll talk more about this game. And then Major League Baseball is almost all set for the championship series. We'll continue with Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
The show, it's a Friday morning. Glad you could be with us. All right, so Thursday Night Football, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I didn't think the game was entertaining because, and here's the thing. I'm like in baseball, I'm okay with like a 1-0 pitcher's duel. I'm okay with that. I don't need the game to be 8-7. I don't need the game to be 9-6. I'm okay with a 1-0 pitcher's duel, a 2-1 pitcher's duel. So if you give me a game that's got some good defense, I'm fine with that. I don't need an explosion of offense to enjoy a game. But I don't even think this was that. I think both teams were not effective. I don't think both quarterbacks were all that great. Right, this was not the a Brady Foles matchup. This was Brady, ordinary. Foles was ordinary, and the Buccaneers shot themselves in the foot time and time again. I mean, how many penalties can you possibly call in a game? I mean, after a while, don't the officials go, man, we're throwing the flag a little too much. Maybe we should let some stuff go. But the Buccaneers committed penalty after penalty after penalty. So you saw probably the video. Even if you didn't watch the game, you probably have either heard or saw the video of Brady yelling at his teammates. And I would, too. I mean, after all, he's 43 years old. He's only got a couple of years in this business. And his offensive line commits penalty after penalty, backing them up. They'd get some yardage, and then here comes the flag. Whoops, back it up. We're now 3rd and 65. I mean, if you're Brady, you'd get ticked off, too.
Do you ever think he was sitting there going, this would never happen with Belichick?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the least penalized team in the NFL. They had 11 penalties last night, the Buccaneers. How far in the season does a Bill Belichick team have to go to get 11 penalties total? Right? What, three or four games before that happens?
At least.
Oh, my goodness. And Brady's also used to, like, if you just let Khalil Mack or somebody just walk in the backfield and tackle you without even laying a hand on him as an offensive tackle, rookie or not, you're probably not playing anytime soon. Brady's looking at his offensive line going, look, do you want me to die early? Because I'll be more than happy to just do it myself. This was silly how bad that team played for him. But, you know, again, he didn't do himself any favors by not knowing it was fourth down either. And yeah. I don't care what they said afterwards. Bruce Arians sticking up for him. Brady kind of going, yeah, well, yeah. He looked lost. He really did look like he thought there was another down.
Yeah, there's no playing that off. I mean, he went over to the ref.
Yeah, he's yelling at the ref, like, are we getting it? Everyone's like, come on, Tom. No, Tom, it's
that was it,
we're,
Tom.
We're done. Okay, that's incomplete, and they get the ball, and we're going home. So come with us. It's fine. And here's the thing. When you're talking about a guy like Brady, who people just are waiting to see kind of fall down a bit, it's just fodder for that group of people who are just waiting for the senior moment of Brady. And a 43-year-old quarterback not knowing it was fourth down, thinking it was third down, is just ripe for media abuse. But again, it's the first realization for a lot of people who may not have seen any Buccaneers games this year so far, and here's a Thursday night solo run, that Brady's not on the Patriots. There isn't a system in place that prevents some of the things that plagued the Buccaneers last night. Right? Brady was, he had to factor in throw in the factor that his team was committing penalties. The overall pressure that was coming in, because look, he was only sacked three times, but it did not feel like Mack and Roquan Smith was in his face all night long. I mean, all night long. I think he was hit or pressured eight times before. I mean, just it's an offensive line that's not giving him the protection. And remember, this was a guy that was coming from a Patriots system where it was efficient. You hardly ever got a hand on Brady, and when you did, you tried to take advantage of it as much as you can. I'm thinking about the Broncos in the AFC Championship game where they knocked him down over 20 times, and Brady still was a two-point conversion away from tying that game up. But it's a system of being able to get that ball out quick, right? A rhythm to the offense. When you play four games. Right, like, and somebody brought this up about Joe Burrow on Twitter, which I thought was pretty smart. Joe Burrow has played four NFL games. He was supposed to be involved in four preseason games, but he wasn't. So these first four games for him were supposed to be in August and not count for anything. You could make the same argument in a way for Brady, although way more experience, obviously, that he's got to get used to new everything, new coach, new offensive coordinator, new plays, new personnel, everything. And last night was a level of frustration because he's yelling at his team to wake up because he's not used to a team committing 11 penalties and stalling drives, especially drives that get into the opponent's territory and then have to get backed up because you can't keep, you know, you can't. You stop holding, or you can't, whatever it is that was causing him to be, you know, throwing the flag all over the place. But again, was it entertaining? I don't want to say it wasn't an entertaining game. Anytime that you get a close game where these, you know, both of these teams were 3-1 going into the game, one of these teams was going to be 4-1, which is pretty decent after 5 weeks. I mean, for the love of Pete. But at the same time, it wasn't. There were too many penalties. There were too many dumb mistakes. There was too many just garbage plays, dropped passes, guys that were wide open that weren't hit by the quarterback. It was that kind of game where it was very messy, but it was close. So entertaining, yeah, I guess, because, I mean, the Bears kicked a field goal and then you got Brady with the ball. I mean, what more do you want at the end of the game? Brady had a ball with a chance to go down the field to kick a field goal to win it. Okay, great. But boy, that looked like a dud. He had nothing. There was nothing there. No rhythm or anything. He's not with the Patriots offense. But not knowing it was fourth down is funny. I mean, it's funny to me. right? Because I spent 10 years in Colorado where one of the most famous plays in Colorado Buffalo's history is the infamous fifth down they got against Missouri 30 years ago. And you know why it still boggles my mind? Is that if you ever been to an NFL game, if you ever covered an NFL game, like in the press box, there's a whole group of people that are assigned to log and monitor everything. And in college football, it's kind of the same way, maybe lesser of a staff, but there's still a group of people that are logging every play, keeping the rhythm of, putting the log together of everything that goes on in the game. And nobody radioed down to tell the referees that the Buffaloes were getting an extra down. So it kind of flashed back in my mind. I'm like, because when Brady put up his four fingers, I don't know about you. Did you feel like maybe he was right for a split second?
Oh, of course.
Like, because I did. Like, there was a part of me that was like, wait a minute. Like,
did I
wanted
miscount?
To rewind the DVR thing. Well, not the video, the on demand. I wanted to rewind it to go, is it really fourth down? Or did television get lost in the shuffle? Did the NFL get lost in the shuffle somewhere? Maybe Brady's right. But it's better that Brady's wrong because he's the 43-year-old quarterback and still trying to hang on.
Is it, though? Because people are having a lot of fun.
There were a lot
of
fun.
Age.
They are
and
picking on
you
his
know
age.
What? As someone who used to be 43.
Yeah, I know. Me too, right?
I really don't need people picking on age.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you forget stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it happens.
But can I say this? And this is no, listen, Bill, I say it all the time. Bill Parcells said it. You are what your record is. I was watching that game last night and I said, one of these teams is going to be 4-1. And one of these teams that's going to be 4-1 doesn't feel like a 4-1 football team. It just does not feel that way.
No.
And that's the Bears. The Bears don't feel like one of the top teams in the NFL with this 4-1 record. They did not look like that at all. I mean, their defense was good last night. Don't get me wrong. But Nick Foles doesn't look fantastic. He doesn't look this is the guy now.
They feel like the kind of team that would be hosting a playoff game and lose.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, oh, thanks for stopping
thanks
by.
Thanks for participating. And so, you know, again, it comes to a Thursday night game in which you've got a little bit more than just the final score. It was added to. And Khalil Mack was fantastic. I think he had two sacks last night and
flipped a lineman.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Was a Keyshawn Vaughn, the Buccaneers player? Oh yeah, I flipped the lineman. I love that. That was great. Yeah. Keyshawn Vaughn, I'm surprised he's like breathing. He got hit so hard last night.
Yeah.
I mean, he got hit on a number of plays last night, but the one that Kyle Fuller put on him that fumbled that football, that was a hit.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a hit. I mean, it was such a hit, they threw a flag on it and then picked it up because they were like, okay, wait, no. Because it was one of those, oh, God, that has to be illegal, right? Like when you watch it in real time, if you're an official on the field, you're like, that had to have been illegal. So I'll just throw this flag and see if it was.
I mean, it probably has sent flashbacks of Vontaze Burfict.
Right, probably.
Because, I mean, that's what it kind of felt like, except it wasn't dirty.
Nope, it wasn't at all. And then when they went to the replay, they're like, nah, that's a good play. And it's a fumble, by the way, and the Bears have the ball first to 10 going the other way.
That was a catch.
That
he
was
made
a catch.
A football move.
Wow. He got smashed.
Yeah, that's one of those type of plays where I sit there and I'm like, that was me. I'm never getting up.
I'm never getting up.
No.
And he had another play where he got blown up, too, and he was on the ground. I was like, don't get up.
Yeah,
stay down, man.
I
was like Mick going, gotta stay down. Don't get up because they're coming for you the next time.
I can't remember. I always forget what Tony Burton's character name. I mean, like, throw the damn towel.
Throw the damn towel. I know. That was nuts. That was nuts. All right, we'll get to baseball coming up. We also we got to get to the NFL likability scale. We'll get to that later on in the show as well. But the Astros have advanced to the ALCS yesterday, beating the A's. And everyone's mad. But are they really mad? And I'll tell you why you may reconsider that coming up as we continue Wake Up Call on Friday.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, Here's Tony D.
All right, don't let a bad battery leave you stranded. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery free of charge. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help find the exact battery for your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So the Astros have advanced to the ALCS. They beat the A's. They beat them in four games. And now we'll await the winner of tonight's Yankees-Rays Game 5 in San Diego. So, people are mad because, you know, the Astros were the most hated team in Major League Baseball for banging on trash cans en route to a World Series championship and another World Series appearance, et cetera, et cetera. Now, as Ron pointed out during the break, they did not get to face Mike Fiers, which I'm sure would have been nice to see from a fan base. Like, from, because you want to go after the guy that kind of accused you. Of course. Why not? Tag him. But what if Mike Fiers in a game five mows them down?
Right. Finds that, like, next level.
You don't want to be a situation where you are eliminated from the playoffs by Mike Fiers.
I think what it is right now is a lot of Twitter muscles going, you know, we would have taken care of that rat.
Right. Be careful, though. Game fives are dangerous. Game sevens are dangerous in baseball. Be careful. But here's the thing. And I'm going to be honest with you, and this is no disrespect to the Oakland A's and Billy Bean and what he does, because the A's are one of those teams that, you know, they pop up and they're good for a while, and then they make the playoffs, they disappear for a bit, and then they pop up again. Here's the problem. Outside of A's fans, can you name three guys on the team? We actually had fun last year trying to name three guys on the team. Remember that little bit?
The other one,
still the same thing.
The other one I know right now. I mean, I don't know anybody who's on the team right now. From last year to this year.
Yeah,
but I do know Laureano.
Laureano is on the team. That is correct.
Because of one one thing that backfired yesterday.
Oh yeah, is Ricky Henderson still on the A's?
I think he is. Him and Reggie.
62-year-old Ricky Henderson. Still on the A's, or however old he is right now?
With John Olerud.
With John Olerud, yeah. I mean, that's it. I mean, the A's are a team of people you don't know, and yet they're good. You know, they're good. But here's the thing. Imagine in the comic books, if Batman was getting ready to go out and capture the Joker, and Robin came in and went, done, set, I got it. Don't worry, he's in Arkham Asylum. I took care of it for you. I know you were busy with that other thing, but I got him. Don't worry about it. That's not how we want the comics to go. We don't want Batgirl to capture the Joker. We don't want Batmite to capture the Riddler. We want Batman to go after him. So the Astros are in. Would it have really been satisfying, Major League Baseball fans, if the A's were the ones that did it? Now, good, Mike Fiers, that would have been a different story. But what if the A's had just taken care of this in four games? No. Now, if the Astros play the Yankees, now you got two kind of villainous teams. That's kind of interesting. But what I want, this is what I want. I kind of want it to be the Dodgers. I know that sounds crazy, but I kind of want it to be the Dodgers. I run the risk of the Astros actually winning that series and winning the World Series, you know, winning the championship and claiming the title. But I want the Astros, if the Astros are going to go down in the postseason, I want them to go down. I don't want the A's to putter through the playoffs and beat them. And here's the other thing. We kind of like rooting against teams. I don't think we're a sports culture that doesn't want some sort of thing to root against. I mean, many of you out there in the country don't have anybody to root for in the postseason, but you could have somebody to root against. Didn't the Patriots live off that for 20 years? I mean, how many memes have you seen where there's New England and then the rest of the country is colored in the team that's in the Super Bowl, right? To show this is everybody else and New England is going to stand on its own and rooting for the Patriots because we're tired of the Patriots. But didn't that make it better? I mean, think of some of the teams that the Patriots beat in the AFC Championship game over the years. Would you have really wanted those teams to go and play the Giants and the Falcons and the Eagles and all the other teams? No. And I think the Astros fit that bill. They were cheaters. They may have cheated in such a way that really taints their 2017 World Series. And I mean, who knows where history may take that? Maybe it's just a blip on the radar. Maybe it's remembered as a scandal for generations. I don't know yet. Well, time will tell. But this Astros team winning and kind of having a screw you America mentality, I think is good for baseball. I wouldn't have wanted to see that flame extinguished by the Oakland A's. And again, this is no disrespect to the A's, but again, name three guys on the team. I mean, name me their superstar. You can't. Now, the Rays kind of fit that bill, right? Because the Rays are kind of built similarly. They got, you know, they're a team that builds from the bottom up. They don't go out and grab a whole bunch of stars. But on the larger stage, I think this is where people would like to see a sort of sport villain. And if I'm an Astros fan, I'm embracing that because that's what happens sometimes. Sometimes America roots against you and you don't need them anyway. This is what I heard all the years of the Patriots, not necessarily for 20, because I think in the beginning they were kind of the darling of the NFL. They were going at, you know, greatest show on turf, and they were going to go beat them, and everyone liked this young kid and whatnot. But as they were achieving that level of success where you knew, like, okay, all right. I think that my friends who were Patriot fans who were like, you know what? I don't care if somebody in Peoria doesn't like my football team. It doesn't bother me that somebody living in Sioux City, Iowa is tweeting how much they hate the Patriots. I couldn't care less. And I think if I'm an Astros fan, this is where I'm at with this team. So what if Dodger fan hates us? So what if Red Sox fan who aren't even in the playoffs hates us? We don't care. We're going into the playoffs to win this thing. And when we win this thing, we'll shove it down everybody's throat that we won this thing. And good for them. If they do it, they deserve it. I mean, after all, the Astros had a losing record going into these playoffs. They looked kind of beat up. They had lost Justin Verlander. The A's were riding on. The A's won the division by 7 games. And the Astros do what they do. They hit, and they hit well, and they extinguished Oakland in 4. And by the way, speaking of playoffs, is anyone going to score on Atlanta in this postseason? Like, I would love the Vegas sports book to give me the shutout expectation of the Atlanta Braves in their opening game against the Dodgers. Like, they can't throw another goose egg, can they? The Atlanta Braves have won 5 straight playoff games. 4 of them, they are shutouts. Where is somebody from the Elias Sports Bureau? Have they figured out how unbelievably amazing that is in baseball to toss 4 shutouts in 5 playoff games? That's incredible. Dodgers have advanced, took down a fun San Diego team that, by the way, Ron, you're going to have to worry about for the next couple of years.
Yeah,
in that division.
I know. I wonder how much different it would have been if they were able to keep their two studs. I mean, yeah. Clevinger, I can't forget the other guy's name.
I know.
But I wonder how much of a game changer that would have been.
Sure. I think the Dodgers probably still would have pulled it out.
I think so, but, the games were close enough as it was.
True,
except for last
right.
night.
Except for last night. The Yankees bounced back, and they got Tampa in a Game 5 situation tonight. And, man, despite the fact that the Rays have owned the Yankees this season, this is a Game 5. If the Yankees pull it off, who cares? If the Yankees pull off the win tonight and advance to the ALCS, so what if Tampa Bay dominated them this year? No one will remember. It'll be the Yankees and Astros, which, by the way, have produced some really good playoff series over the last couple of years. Really good ones. I love this this Atlanta Dodgers series, though. I mean, the Atlanta Braves can hit. I mean, they can hit really well, but the Dodgers are complete, just absolutely complete. All right, your thoughts on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with 2 N's. NBA Finals also tonight as we roll along. Plus, we've got Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up next hour. The entertainment value of your Week 5 NFL games on the slate coming up. The league has made its decision on Tennessee-Buffalo. I'll give you that coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Champ Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call as the Sports Map Radio Network. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, before we get to the NFL, I had to bring this up. Because of I'm in this leg brace, I spend a lot of time just sitting on the couch feeling sorry for myself. So I've been perusing movies and just things to watch to keep my, you know, keep myself occupied. You know what I stumbled on? One of the movie things that we have, and I watched it, and it was from 1985. And it was a movie I remember seeing as a kid, and I hadn't seen it in a long time. And it's Fright Night with Chris Sarandon. Have you ever seen that?
No.
With the vampire? Highly recommend it. It's an 80s movie, so it's got not so good 80s special effects. It's got not so good 80s sort of dialogue. It's, you know, but man, I was like, Chris Sarandon, who probably people remember for a lot of roles, but Prince Humperdinck was the more famous one from The Princess Bride, plays Jerry Dandridge, who's a vampire next door. And when he's in his monster makeup, it's very campy looking. It's not as it's 80s, right? So he's terrifying, not in that way. He's terrifying in the way like Dracula's terrifying because he's charming, but yet evil. He's always got that look on his face, like I'm shaking your hand, but I'm about ready to kill you too. Really, really good. And it's one of those movies that when you add like 35 years between viewings, like I remember seeing it on videotape. So I remember renting it probably like 87, a couple years after it came out. But in the 30 plus years, I watched it now and I go, this is a good acting job. Great acting job. So I recommend it. It's again, you got to go into it knowing we've had 30 plus years of better special effects and green screens and all that other
makes
stuff.
Those movies that,
that's right.
Fun at the
that's
same time.
Right. So, you know, when you watch it, yeah, it's got that 80s look. It's got that 80s feel. It's got a little bit of that sort of creepy electro music that they had like in Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street and all those, you know, where it was like somebody was like synthesizing horror level music. It's got that, but man, it was really good. You know, another movie I saw from the 80s earlier in this week while I've been laid up, War Games with Matthew Broderick. Remember that?
Yes, of course.
Remember that one? How great was that? I watched that and it was funny because my daughter was in the room with me watching it and she goes, what is he doing with that computer? I go, that's how, never mind, don't worry. And I said, by the way, you can't do that today. Write in pencil and then change your grade like he did to Ally Sheedy and himself. But man, War Games was good too. And I was trying to convey this to my daughter and her friend who were over at the time. I was like, I don't think you guys really understand growing up in the 80s. Like this nuclear war thing was like always on the back of our minds. Like well, that any minute, like the missiles could be flying.
So funny you bring that up because I was explaining that to my son because he was asking about his grandfather who was in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And he's like, so was, his name is, we call him Papa. He goes, did Papa fight in the Cold War? I'm like, well, no.
Yeah.
No one fought in the Cold War. It's
right,
called
right.
The Cold War because there was no conflict, but we were on the edge of our seat at any minute of
oh,
the day.
Yeah.
You know, nuclear war was going to happen.
All the time. Like you could go home from school and it's an ABC News special report. And then whoever it was telling you the missiles were flying.
Yeah.
Like you just didn't know.
When you first learned about all the missile silos in Kansas.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, Kansas. All right.
Oh, wow. Okay. Do I live near one? Right. It was, you know, I remember as a kid because I lived in New Hampshire. And we have Pease Air Force Base near us. And they always said, well, they're going to hit Pease Air Force Base. So we would be dead. And I was like, really? Oh, okay. Like, I didn't know if I was comforted by that.
Right.
That I would die instantly. Or like, it just was a weird time to grow up. But again, when you explain it to sort of young people, they're kind of like, it's weird. They don't. Like, this was every day. Like, if you were a kid and you had anxiety about this, there was nothing anybody could do to calm you down. Like you because we were like, I can't really guarantee that the Soviets won't launch the missiles. But War Games, you watch that and you go, could we ever be that close? Because remember the computer had to play tic-tac-toe against itself?
Yeah.
To realize that, oh, nobody wins at tic-tac-toe and no one's going to win global thermonuclear war, so we better not launch the missiles. And that's how War Games ends. Matthew Broderick and Ali Sheedy. Falkland's Maze. Remember that? That was great. I loved watching that. So it was fun. It's watching War Games. So War Games and Fright Night are my two 80s recommendations for you out there. Since I'm gathering all the movie information I can, just trying to occupy time until I get this stupid leg brace off. But I am going to watch Game 5 tonight of the Rays-Yankees game. You got Garrett Cole going against Tyler Glasnow. And then I'll probably flip it over to the Lakers crowning themselves champions of the NBA.
You go ahead and do that. I'll be stuck on a team wearing the Mamba jerseys.
That's right. Mamba jerseys tonight. I got to tell you, I'm not a sure thing sports guy. I've seen too many things, but I kind of think tonight's a sure thing.
Yeah.
I got a weird feeling that it's going to be Laker championship night down in Orlando.
And I'm almost 100% positive that we're going to that either the Yankees or the Rays will move on after tonight.
Yeah. We will get a participant against the Astros in the ALCS.
The Astros will know who they're facing. I'm not a Yankee fan. You know, they've had too much success.
Yeah.
But I think I'd rather have Astros-Yankees than Astros-Rays.
Oh, me too. And I think it's...
A little bit more history, a little bit more bad blood.
This is the thing when you get like a Kansas City Royals a couple of years ago. Remember when the Royals were in the World Series and then won the World Series and whatnot?
Because the Rays to me are kind of like the A's. I don't really know who's on the Rays.
Yeah. And the Pirates were like this too. The Pirates had a couple of years of success in 2011, 12, 13, whatnot, is when you get these small market teams, they make really good stories, right? Because they show you that the economics of baseball aren't dead, that you can build up, you can do some scouting, you can take a team, and you can build it from the ground up and make a run at the postseason. Again, we see teams do this. The A's are a perfect example of it, but here are the Rays, a very good baseball team with hardly anybody. But the problem is that when you get to the national level, there is... If you're talking to somebody who's out of the market, or maybe even doesn't live in a baseball market, like Portland, for example, or some other city that doesn't have Major League Baseball, and you say, look, would you like to watch these playoffs? Yankees and Astros and Red Sox and Dodgers, these are sellable teams. But the Rays and the A's and the Pirates and the Royals and all these teams, these small market teams with low payrolls that have had success over the last 10 years, they're hard to sell. They really are hard to sell. And so Yankees, Astros, unfortunately for the Rays, who did have a good, great 60-game season, really great 60-game season, because they did it in a way where, one, again, they did it with guys rising stars. Randy Arozarena is fantastic, right? A lot of these guys on the Rays can hit, and they can play, and they can pitch, and all this stuff. But they did it by looking at who is the competition in our division. The Yankees. Well, we're going to beat the hell out of them. And they did. And so you like a team that does that, that says not only are we going to have a good season, but we're going to take out the number one threat to what we're trying to do. We're trying to win the American League East. We are trying to win the overall record for the American League. And we're going to take out the team that is the biggest threat to us. And they did so 8 out of 10 times during the regular season. That's admirable. And that's something that, you know, you get behind and you say, look at this market, right? But the reality is it's not sellable to the general public. It's not. The Red Sox are, the Dodgers are, the Yankees are. Those teams, as much as we hate it because they go out and they have a huge payroll and they spend on the luxury tax and there's no free agent is good enough for them except, the Red Sox are pulling back a bit. That is the sellable team to America, to the American public that does not have a dog in the fight. But even though, like, look at Tampa, right? You go down there, that's where the Yankee spring training complex is, right? There's a ton of Yankee fans down there. It's not a team that after, how many years have they been in baseball? 22, like 1998, came in with the Diamondbacks. They haven't cemented themselves in their own city. And they've had success. They've gone to a World Series. They've made the playoffs a couple of times. Lost to the Astros last year, and I thought that they were a threat to the Astros. They looked very threatening at times. But they haven't even cemented a place in their own sports landscape. You know, there's too much. You know, my father, who now is retired in Florida, has seen the Giants in twice at the Buccaneers Stadium. And every time he's gone, it's loaded with Giants fans.
Yeah.
And the Buccaneers are kings of that area. But the New York presence of the retirees or just people who've relocated out of the state down to a place where there's no income tax and better weather and all that affects your product. And the Rays are a victim of that. They can't sell their stadium. They can't. During the regular season, it's a tombstone, no matter how good they are. And then you want America to embrace that team, to embrace their run when their own city barely embraces it? It's a tough sell. So you're right. The Yankees tonight, if they were to win, creates a better situation for Major League Baseball than the Rays do. And again, this is no knock on what the Rays and Kevin Cash have done. They've done a fantastic job. But I still go back to the NBA, and I think it's a guarantee the Lakers are champs tonight.
Yeah, I kind of get that feeling too.
I just do. Just can't help it.
There's nothing wrong with feeling that way.
No.
It's a smart idea.
I know in our business, people like definitive, you know, I guarantee, but I've seen crazy stuff, you know, just enough to make me cautious. But boy, this just doesn't look like, it looks like the Miami Heat took their best shot, and then the Lakers went, okay, we got it. We saw what you can do. We saw what it takes for you to win the game. And so we're going to neutralize that. So here you go. Anthony Davis, you guard Jimmy Butler. And then game four was settled. So now it's game five, and the Lakers are a win away from their 17th championship and the fourth for LeBron James. All right, it is Wake Up Call on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on a Friday. Coming up next hour, the good, the bad, and the dumb. And then we do this every Friday in case you're new to the show, the watchability entertainment level of the Week 5 NFL games. Because now that we've got four games in, or in some cases three, now there's some meat here now. We can really give you the whether or not these games are worth your attention span. That is all coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, again, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. So the Titans-Bills game Sunday in Nashville has been moved to Tuesday night. Okay. All right, is this what we're doing now? So
NFL every day of the week.
This is going to be awesome.
That's what's going to happen.
So here's the thing. The Bills had a game Thursday night against Kansas City, which would have been great, right? But they had to move it. So now they've moved that as well. So this is what the NFL is going to do. Everything is in flux. Everything is movable now. But look, would you rather... I ask these people who... I've seen a lot of articles now saying, listen, the NFL got what it asked for. Did you really want the NFL not to pursue... Would you rather have this or nothing? Like, would you rather have nothing? Like, would you rather have a canceled NFL season than the inconvenience of moving a game or two to another night than it's normally played? Like, is it a huge crime that the Tennessee Titans and the Buffalo Bills have to play on a Tuesday? Is this not nitpicking your five-course meal? You're getting NFL football in a global pandemic. And people are like, well, the NFL should... The NFL is doing the best it can, like all of these other entities have done the best they can. They're trying to put the product out on the field, trying to give it to you for you to enjoy, for you to absorb, and for you to be entertained. So what if the Titans-Bills game can't be played? Yes, it must tick people off that the Titans held a private workout at a local high school when they weren't supposed to. I'd be furious at that if I was a league. I would. I'd be penalizing the players or at least the organization for not having a tighter grip on that. Absolutely. But the issue isn't that you're going to have COVID protocols broken. You're going to. You're going to have players get this, and you're going to have to figure out the fallout from that. We move games, or we're going to have to push this, or we're going to have to reschedule this, or we're going to have to build a cushion in the schedule. But the reality is the alternative was nothing. And as we're seeing, it's like, you know, it's the same comment we made with Major League Baseball, right? When the beginning of the season in Major League Baseball, we had the Marlins and the Yankees and the Phillies, and you had the Cardinals, and games were being canceled, and all of a sudden it looked like it was just the start of something big. That it was late July, early August. There were some games that were being taken off the schedule, and you were thinking to yourself, yeah, this is just the calm before the storm. That any minute now we were going to wake up and we were going to have 5, 6, 7, 10 Major League Baseball teams shut down. That didn't happen. All right? The Titans had some positive tests. The Titans now have no positive tests, but their game has been moved. The Patriots had Cam Newton contract coronavirus this morning. No new tests, no positive tests. This is what the league's going to have to start doing. And if we lose a game or two, or if we have to move a game or two, or we have to have short weeks for people, that's the way it's going to be. The flexibility is the key. The ability to move a game to a Tuesday night when they don't play on Tuesday nights. That's the key. So I give them credit. I don't always give the NFL credit. But it sounds like people are just complaining to complain when in reality you're still getting NFL football. Speaking of which, what is week 5 got in store? It's coming up next hour as we continue with the Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.